Okay, so we all know the phrase separate but equal, right? Like it's almost automatic you hear that and think Brown v. Board of Education, the case that got rid of segregation in schools. But the thing is, the idea, the concept, it was around way before Brown.
Yeah, that's right. It goes all the way back to Plessy v. Ferguson, 1896. That's where the Supreme Court, unfortunately, it kind of said, yeah, segregation is okay as long as the facilities, for black people and white people, as long as those are equal.
And we're going to dig even deeper today, looking at a case that came after Plessy but before Brown. McCabe v. Santa Fe Railway,
Yeah.
decided in 1914, so it gives us a really, I don't know, a fascinating look, I guess, at how people were fighting against segregation back in those Jim Crow days. And this whole thing, it started because of an Oklahoma law passed in 1907 that said, yep, you guessed it, separate accommodations for black and white passengers on trains. We're talking everything, separate coaches, waiting rooms, even the fancy stuff, those sleeping cars, dining cars, all separate.
Yeah, and that law is just, it's like a huge reminder of how segregation was just like woven into everyday life back then. It wasn't just about separate water fountains or schools. It was everywhere, even when you were just trying to travel.
So you're probably thinking, okay, separate but equal, right? But this is where it gets really interesting. Okay, so this Oklahoma law, it had this sneaky little part they called it Section 7. And basically what it said was railroads, they could have luxury cars just for one race if they wanted to. Can you imagine that? Like a super nice dining car, but only white passengers can use it. And black passengers, well, they were stuck with whatever else was left.
It's crazy, right? That loophole that was just like a slap in the face to the whole equal part of separate but equal really showed how segregation was never really about equality at all.
And that's exactly what the people who brought the case, the plaintiffs in McCabe, that's exactly what they were saying. They were like, this law, especially that shady Section 7, it's violating our constitutional rights. And get this, their case went all the way to the Supreme Court after getting tossed out by the lower courts.
We got to remember how brave those people were to challenge those laws, especially back then when things were, so tense. They were really putting themselves out there.
So what were their main arguments, legally speaking?
Okay, so they had a few key points. First, they said this Oklahoma law, it went against the 14th Amendment, specifically the Equal Protection Clause. That part's all about everyone getting the same protection under the law, right? And they were like, hello, this law clearly isn't treating black passengers equally, especially with those luxury cars.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
14th Amendment seems pretty clear about that. What else did they argue?
Their second point was all about the Commerce Clause. They claimed this segregation law was actually like messing with interstate commerce. I know it's a little complicated, but basically they were saying that having these separate accommodations for black and white passengers, it was making it harder for businesses to, operate across state lines. Though, to be honest, the court didn't really address that part in their final decision.
Interesting. So hitting it from multiple angles. Anything else?
Oh yeah, one more thing, and this is kind of cool. So Oklahoma's Enabling Act, that's a document that basically said, okay, Oklahoma, you can be a state now, right? Well, it actually said no racial discrimination allowed. So the McCabe folks, they argued this segregation law was going against like the very foundation of Oklahoma's statehood.
Wow. It's like, hey, you can't have it both ways, Oklahoma. You can't be against racial discrimination and then pass a law like this.
Exactly.
So, with all these arguments on the table, what did the Supreme Court say? Did they side with those challenging the law?
Well, this is where it gets kind of wild. You'd think, knowing how things were back then, that they'd just uphold the separate but equal thing and toss the case, right? But get this, they actually kind of agreed with the folks who brought the case. To some extent, anyway.
Wait, hold on. They agreed. That's not what I expected. What exactly did they say?
They said that the part about luxury cars, that Section 7 allowing them to be for just one race, that was unconstitutional. They even said, quote, substantial equality of treatment cannot be refused if those facilities are being offered. Basically, they meant you can't offer these fancy accommodations and then say, nope, sorry, a whole group of people can't use them just because of their race.
Okay, so they saw the inequality in that specific part of the law. But what about the whole law itself? Did they strike it all down?
That's where the twist comes in. Even though they recognized that part was discriminatory, they ended up dismissing the whole case because of a technicality.
A technicality, what do you mean?
They dismissed it because of lack of standing. Now, I know that sounds like lawyer speak, but it's important. Basically, standing means you're allowed to bring a case to court. To have standing, the person suing has to show that they've been personally harmed by the law or whatever they're challenging.
So were the people in McCabe not harmed by this segregation law?
Well, that's what the court said. They said the plaintiffs hadn't actually been directly affected by the law because, get this, they hadn't actually tried to buy tickets for those luxury cars and been refused. They were basically challenging the law, you know, in advance because of the potential for harm down the line.
So they were like, you can't sue just because you're worried about what might happen. You have to show you were actually discriminated against because of this specific law.
Exactly. They really emphasize you got to show actual concrete harm, not just a general desire to get the law changed.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because there's even more to it, like another layer with what's called the concurring opinion. So those justices, they agreed with the outcome, you know, that the case should be dismissed, but, well, their reasons were a bit different.
Oh, okay. So they were all on the same page about, like, the end result, but had different ways of getting there.
Right. The majority, they focused on that procedure stuff. Did the plaintiffs have standing? And the concurring justices, they were like, yeah, they don't, but. And they took it a step further.
So what was their point then? It sounds like they had some strong feelings about it.
Well, they argued that even if there was just one, like just one black passenger who wanted to use one of those luxury cars, the railroad, they couldn't say no. They were basically saying, you know, rights aren't a popularity contest.
That's a pretty powerful way to put it. So it's not about like how many people it affects. It's about everyone getting equal treatment, just as a matter of principle. It really is. It's not about numbers or how much demand there is. It's about every single person having that right to be treated equally under the law.
Makes sense. So we've got this interesting contrast. The majority opinion, it's all about procedure, and then the concurrence, it's focusing on the big picture, the philosophy behind equal rights.
And that back and forth, that tension, is what makes McCabe such a cool case to look at. It shows how complicated these legal decisions can be, you know, especially when you're dealing with something like segregation that's so deeply rooted in society.
Yeah. It also shows how a case, even if it gets dismissed on a technicality, can still say something really important about the issues at play. It's almost like they're saying, okay, maybe we got to dismiss this one, but make no mistake, separate is inherently unequal.
Totally. And when you think about it, McCabe, it was like a step on the path toward Brown v. Board of Education, the decision that finally overturned separate but equal completely.
So how does McCabe fit into the whole like timeline of legal challenges against segregation? It seems like it kind of upheld separate but equal, but also kind of chipped away at it at the same time.
It's a great point. It really did both. McCabe reinforced that framework from Plessy, but it also showed how bad the implementation of it was. On the one hand, yeah, separate facilities were still considered okay, but on the other, it was crystal clear that they had to be truly equal in every single way.
Yeah, it did. It's like they raised the bar for what separate but equal actually meant. It forced people to see that separate was almost never really equal at all.
Right, and we can't forget the impact it had on that whole idea of standing, you know, who can bring a case to court. This case really showed how important it is to prove that you've been personally harmed by the law if you want your case to be heard.
Absolutely. McCabe was kind of a cautionary tale in that way. Like, you got to be able to show that you were directly affected. But it was also inspiring, in a way.
How so? It kind of seems like a loss when you think about it. Well, even with those limitations, it still pushed things forward for racial equality. It, like, chipped away at that separate but equal idea and opened the door for more challenges down the road. I mean, think about it. The court actually said that separate couldn't be unequal, even if they didn't totally strike down the law itself. That's a big deal.
Right. It's like those small victories, you know?
Yeah.
You got to take what you can get and keep fighting. It's a long game, for sure.
Yeah, well said. And McCabe shows us that legal precedent, it can be a tricky thing. It can be used to support inequality, but it can also be used to challenge it. It really depends on how future cases use that precedent.
So as we wrap up our deep dive into McCabe v. Santa Fe Railway, I want to leave everyone with a question to think about. We know that McCabe was a stepping stone to Brown v. Board of Education. So how do you think this case, with all its ups and downs, how do you think it shaped those legal strategies that came after it, you know, in that fight for racial equality? What lessons can we learn from what it couldn't do, and maybe even more importantly, what it did achieve? How did it help pave the way for finally getting rid of separate but equal for good? Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time.